LinkedIn for Business. Novità, consigli e strategie per rendere profittevole la tua attività su LinkedIn. A cura di Leonardo Bellini.
Hello everybody and welcome to LinkedIn for Business by Leonardo Bellini podcast show. This time I have the pleasure and the honor to guest one of the most well-known LinkedIn experts all over the world. His name is John Espirian. He comes from Wales, exactly, I think. And now I would like John to introduce himself.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, Leo, for having me on your podcast. My name is John Espirian. Yes, I'm a British copywriter. I'm based in South Wales. And I have been an independent writer for more than 10 years. But in the last 4 years, I've specialized a bit more on helping people to understand how LinkedIn works. So I've built my reputation there, and I have now written a book called Content DNA, which summarizes a lot of my knowledge about copywriting and building a personal brand. So thank you again for having me, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation today.
So, John, I would like just to start from your book, Content DNA. I have read your book, I think, last summer, more or less. Mm-hmm. And for whom haven't yet read the book, I suggest to read it because it's very good to, first of all, I think, understand what we would like to be, to communicate in a really authentic and natural way. So without any kind of infrastructure, no advertising, but poor real content and to find out which is your DNA. So John, how, why a person, maybe a freelancer, a consultant, but even an entrepreneur should approach your book?
Well, I think they should approach it because there are a lot of people out there trying to create content. There's a lot of noise in the marketplace. And every time I've looked at anyone's content that has been memorable to me, it's been very quick and easy for me to recognize that person's content. It's had the same consistent visual appearance. It's written in a very recognizable tone. So if I had imagined that even if I hid the logo from the screen and got rid of the colors and I was just looking at the words, I can still say, I know who wrote that. Mm-hmm. And that memorability, being distinctive and memorable in all of the content you create, I think is the best way of building your authority in your chosen field. So whatever you do, I think it's important that you create a small set of identifiers. In my book, I call them brand building blocks. And then every time you create some content, an email, a blog post, a video, a podcast, it has a recognizable style to it. Yeah. So that you always say, that's Leo or that's John or whoever.
Yeah.
And this is why I wrote the book, is to help business owners and personal brands to work out what that style is for them, create their shape, as I call it in the book.
Yeah.
And then you have to commit to turning up on a regular basis so that people will start to notice you and then remember you, and ultimately they will prefer you. And this is the route to getting more business without having to rely on advertising or cold outreach sales or things like
that. Very interesting, John. And in the book, in the first chapters, you introduce, as you have done right now, two magic ingredients that are consistency and congruence. Yes. So just you spoke about how you should make recognizable with the same shape, you say, in the book, a content, a specific content created by a unique with the same tone of voice and so on. And the second element in which I would like to comment by you is consistency. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we know that I mean, to get known on LinkedIn, on digital content, it's not important only, I mean, to reach the peaks, but to keep constant, to maintain a certain level of quality, for instance.
Yes. If you talk to anyone who's successful, they will always say that even though it might have looked as though they got successful overnight, actually they will have put years of practice to get to that point. The same has happened for me, and it's happened for countless other people I know. When I started, for example, on LinkedIn properly, which was at the start of 2017, no one was paying any attention to my content. Mm-hmm. No one was really engaging. I wasn't getting any business from it. And if I didn't know any better, then I could have just quit and said, I tried this for a couple of months, nothing happened, let's forget it and let's move on. But actually, all of the research suggests that it takes many, many months, and sometimes it takes a few years before that consistent effort is rewarded. And whenever I speak to clients who get frustrated, I have to remind them of that, because many of them make the mistake of thinking they'll just write 5 blogs or 10 blogs, or they'll do 5 podcast episodes, or they'll do 20 YouTube videos. And they think, that's it. That's enough. We'll be top of Google and everything will work. It doesn't work like that. You have to put in a lot more effort. And the people who keep putting in the effort, they're the ones who win in the long term. So it's not a quick fix approach. It can take months and often years, but this is the method of turning up regularly enough so that you become the recognizable name in your industry. There's that guy. He's still talking about this. He's still talking about this. Maybe we're going to hire him now.
So in your case, John, how long did it take until you realized that you were getting attention, consideration, maybe following followers about LinkedIn?
Okay, so nothing happened at all for the first 9 months.
Okay.
Then I would say that things started to work out at around 18 months, so about 1.5 years. And then when it got to 2.5 years, then things really started to work. And now it has been 4 years.
Yeah.
And I have, thankfully, more than 30,000 followers on LinkedIn. And now my reputation is pretty good on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I'm still don't have the same following as some other people, but I'm a respected name in the field, and a lot of my content performs well because people understand that I have this brand identity of being a nerdy testing person who does experiments. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And these things help me stand out. So yes, it's working for me now, but I'm now 4 years into this journey.
Okay. And the second question about this is, would you describe briefly a day in the life of John Espirian in terms of habits? Because, we say we should create our daily routine, we should do some things repeatedly, and so on and so on. So I would like to know which is your, for instance, how much time do you dedicate to LinkedIn in the morning or maybe in the afternoon and so.
Okay, so I usually spend maybe 1 to 2 hours on LinkedIn in the morning, but because I wake up very early. Okay. I always wake up and then I walk for an hour and a half before I have my breakfast. So I might be awake at, let's say, 5 a.m. I'll do my exercise first. Then I might spend an hour or two in total in the morning on LinkedIn, and maybe another hour throughout the rest of the day. I tend not to do everything in one block because notifications come throughout the day.
Yeah.
And because actually questions come to me throughout the day. I don't have to spend a lot of time sitting down and thinking, oh, what am I going to write about? Because I'm always testing LinkedIn to see how it works, and because I receive a lot of questions,
yeah,
it's very easy for me to come up with topics, because sometimes people ask a question and I'll think, oh, okay, maybe I should do a video, maybe I should do a post about this, maybe I should write an article. So I always get inspiration from my audience. And in fact, it's one of my tips that I mention in the book when people say, oh, I don't know what to write about, but they don't often look at their email inbox and see the questions that their real customers are sending them that could be the inspiration for the content they create. So I would say, to answer your question, I spend most of my time on LinkedIn towards the morning because of notifications from overnight. And throughout a day, maybe it's about 3 hours. Now, I don't recommend that for most people. That's way too much time. Bear in mind that this is my business. Yeah. I think it's possible if you can spend half an hour a day just building your presence, getting your profile correct, and starting to comment on other people's content so that you raise your visibility. If you can do that for half an hour a day, that will be, in a couple of years' time, that investment of time will be very, very valuable.
Yeah, very, very interesting. It's to understand. I mean, to know your recipe, your daily habits. So thank you for that, John. And in the book, you refer to Mark Schaefer's book called Known, that it was one of your inspirations. You have been quoted in the book, you have known Max Schaefer, you tell about your physical meeting in Edinburgh, I think.
Yes, that's right. Well remembered, yes.
Yeah, and the question is, I mean, the 30 months mindset, so you talk about your experience. You talk about 18 months, you said, to get known, maybe to, and maybe another 1 hour half to strengthen, to build, to develop your reputation, your visibility, and so on. So, do you think that in this period, in this timing, what are, if there are some recommendations that you would do to take advantage, to get the most in terms of awareness, personal branding, and so on? So how could you use at best this period? And what would you like to practice? What would you do to practicing?
I would, if I were advising someone starting out now, I would say that you should think very carefully about the one thing that you would want to be known for.
Yeah.
And the one place where you'd like to be known for it.
Yeah.
So for me, it took me too long to really realize that LinkedIn was my place. Yeah. Before then, I was on Twitter, I was on Facebook, I tried Instagram and Snapchat and some other platforms, and they just weren't right. So actually, you need to think about, where is my audience most likely to consume my message? Okay, so think about that, but also think about what the one thing is that you really want to be known for. What is your center of expertise? And how can you talk about that in an interesting way? The thing you mentioned about meeting Mark Schaefer in Edinburgh was that he asked me the question of, you know, how am I going to stand out? And I answered with creating relentlessly helpful content.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I never planned that. I just said it and there it was. So that became my strap line. You know, it's the thing that I always use in all of my content. And now people say it to me. Echoing it to me.
Yeah.
But you need to come up with something that is good enough and interesting enough that people will latch onto it and they will echo it back to you. So these are really important things. So get a clear brand identity, knowing what you stand for with one thing, and also work out where you're going to stand out. So in my case, it would be LinkedIn. And then if you do choose LinkedIn, like I did, one of the most valuable things to do is to try and comment as helpfully and supportively and authoritatively as you can on other people's stuff. Because it's easy to think, oh, well, I should write my own posts.
Yeah.
And you should. But actually, you'll get better visibility if you go to other people's content and you comment on that.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a great way of standing out on LinkedIn. And actually, it's easier than thinking of your own ideas, is to go and find someone else's ideas, that their post that's in your, you know, relevant industry, and then you comment helpfully on that stuff. It's a great way of building your audience.
Yeah.
And the important thing I want to say as well is, even if you think, well, you know, I'm running my business, I don't really need an audience now, you might need an audience in the future. In fact, I think you probably will. So if you start now, it's going to be much easier in 2 or 3 years time when you have that audience, and then you can start selling them more products or offering them services or doing interesting new stuff. And you can lean on those people who already like you. If you wait until the moment that you need those people, it won't work. It's like people who say, well, I don't need a job now, so I'm not going to use LinkedIn. Yeah. But if you build a presence, when you do need a job, you know, you'll probably be able to get one a lot easier.
Yeah, it's when we think on LinkedIn, we think also to get a safe, reliable, and reactive network of people who appreciate you, who follow you, who are willing to comment and interact with you. So in that sense, maybe it's the social network in which network and networking activity and audience engagement is very, very intertwined, it's very correlated as a concept. And in this period, John, you have also launched a course on Vimeo that you people who are listening to this podcast could buy, LinkedIn Leaders Course. And I remember that maybe last year you started with a course that was called How Not to Be a Loser on LinkedIn, something like that.
That's right,
it's very, very funny and humoristic. And so how to stop being a user and how to get a LinkedIn leader. So what is, in your opinion, maybe the biggest mistake to avoid for not being a user on LinkedIn?
Well, I think the people who stand out are the ones who actually create and engage with other people's content. So a lot of people don't do that. So if you start doing that, that will put you ahead of probably more than 95% of the people who are on LinkedIn, for starters. And there's a lot of very boring, very dry presence on LinkedIn. So you need to have some personality in your profile, in your headline, in your about statement, the things that will impress the people who are looking for service providers like you. And I think one of the most effective things I do is that I try to put what I call conversation hooks into my content, in my headline, in my about. I give people an easy way of starting a conversation with me, because I'll say something that they can ask about or that they can relate to.
Yeah.
And it's really important in all of your content to be like that. And then the absolute number one tip is to start more conversations yourself. And you do that through commenting on people's content. That starts a conversation in public. and you comment and you write to them in private through the direct messages, and that starts a conversation there. All of my business on LinkedIn actually happens in those direct messages when I just talk to people. And the biggest frustration that people have with LinkedIn, I think, apart from maybe the thought that it is just a resume or CV website, which it isn't, is that they see so many people doing salesy stuff. You know, they connect with someone, the person sends them a pitch. They want to buy something straight away. This kind of thing doesn't work anymore, especially in the pandemic land where people don't really want to be in buying mode for that reason. So conversational content, I think, is a lot better. So I use all of the tools available to me. And these are the things that I talk about in the course. You know, we can send voice notes, you can send videos, you can do group chats, you can do comments, you can create your own posts, you can join groups. There's all sorts of things that you can do to start non-salesy conversation. So the course is really all about that. And the original version that you mentioned was actually quite basic compared with what it is now, because now I cover things like searching LinkedIn and using company pages and some advanced stuff as well. So I hope it will get people a lot of useful information in a relatively short time. So it's all of my best thinking about LinkedIn.
I suggest to watch John Experience videos and to buy his course available on Vimeo. I think it's the best video course I have ever seen.
Oh, wow.
And,
that's really
kind of I like... I like watching, I like also buying products, courses, books about LinkedIn, social selling, so on. And the LinkedIn Leaders course of John, I think has some very good virtues. First of all, is very well structured, is it's simple to understand, so he hasn't offered any kind of obstacles, so no technicalities, but it's very, very simple, and it's full of really LinkedIn tips, so only strategies, but also tactics and tips and snackable tips, so I still have learned a lot with the last edition of your course, John. So I publicly thank you for that gift you give to us. And I would like to know, John, about your future progress or next steps. I think you're planning to write a new book.
Yes, I'm taking some notes at the moment, the same as I did for Content DNA. A lot of the stuff that I wrote about on LinkedIn ended up becoming Content DNA. And now I'm writing notes for a second book, which I'm going to call Relentless.
Yeah,
which is based
on your tagline. Yes.
So Relentless is going to be some of my best tips for how to be the most helpful person in your industry, which hopefully will help you earn a bit more money. So it's a collection of short, actionable tips. Okay. And one of the most popular things from the first book was that I started each chapter with get to the point. So I thought, I'm going to try and write a second book that is all get to the point, you know?
All get to the point. Okay.
Practical advice. So I hope in the next year or so I'll have that out into the world.
Okay. And one project I think I have read in your latest posts is about the translation of your first book. So if you want to send an advice, a message to whom who would be likely to translate your book in other languages,
yes,
would be interesting.
Sure. Well, I decided that trying to go for a full translation into another language would be probably too expensive for me to justify because I'd need to sell a lot of books to reclaim that money. So what I thought instead was that I would write a short summary of the book so that I could get the main ideas into a short number of words. It's only 550 words. And I've published this summary on my website. And then I'm inviting people who are native speakers in another language to send me their translations. And what I'm doing is publishing each one and giving credit to the person. I'm not expecting a professional translator quality because this is just a community collaborative project.
Yeah.
But I've published, I think it's 9 languages already. I just had just today, the Turkish version has arrived with me and the Portuguese version has arrived with me. And so I'm trying to get other languages across just so that people don't have access to the book in their country, especially countries in Africa, countries in Asia might not have access. And so if I can get those languages translated, it might give them a chance to get some of the ideas of the book without having to pay any money at all. So that's a little side, nice side project. And it gets me a chance to speak to people in other countries who've got other linguistic skills. It's always a pleasure for me to do that. So that's been a nice little project.
I read that my friend Anna is in charge to translate a part of maybe the abstract of your book, if
yes,
I
correct.
Well understood. So very, very nice. And I would like to the end of this conversation. I would like to ask your opinion about the recent evolutions of LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is rolling out a lot of features about profile, about page. Now we are in a content creator mode. You wrote also something. So how do you think, what is your opinion or maybe your vision, or if LinkedIn is, doing well this kind of changes, maybe also radical changes?
Yeah, well, I think on the technical side of things, I think LinkedIn has always struggled a bit. They usually wait for people like Facebook to make an innovation, and then maybe a year or 2 years later, they tend to copy it. So we're still in that zone a little bit. It's good to see that they're doing things like creator mode and cover story. These support the people who are ready to create content and build their personal brand. So I think those are good things.
Yeah.
I also think that because their business has been affected by the pandemic, you know, the recruitment industry has obviously gone down quite a bit during this period. So I think LinkedIn will want a different revenue stream to earn some more money. And one thing it looks as though they are doing is that they'll offer service providers, so people like me who offer writing services so forth, the ability to maybe sell their services through LinkedIn and turn LinkedIn into something like a marketplace where I can say,
I
will write a web page for you. You pay me this much. And then LinkedIn gets a small commission from that.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, then it would maybe be able to use reviews, kind of like Google My Business and Facebook reviews are. And it will become a place where people can sell services and maybe they'll make more money. And then people like me will want to be there even more. So I think that's the direction that we're going in. It will take a while to get there, but I think the first steps that have been taken are great. And if people haven't already tried to create things like an audio pronunciation or a cover story video that goes behind your profile photo, these things I think will help you stand out. So as soon as you get those features, if you don't have them already, I would suggest you use them and get ready for what might be coming next. And I saw just this morning that LinkedIn is now hiring people in New York for the creator manager role.
Oh,
so they're trying to build their employees to support creators. We don't know exactly what they're doing, but if they're hiring staff, something must be happening there. So it's you have to keep an eye on it.
Interesting. And about for a brand, John, how much does the brand should a brand invest on LinkedIn, for instance, in training for their employees or for creating a better social leadership positioning and so on?
Well,
how do you see that?
I think it really helps if all of the people in the management, the top level management, understand how the platform works and understand the value of the platform so that they can empower the people who manage their company page and the individual employees to go out and start commenting and creating content and improving their profiles. Because, you know, just getting one or two people who manage a company page to post something on a company page that doesn't, no one sees it.
This is
not going to be successful. The ones that really seem to work are the ones where all of the people understand how it works and they can all do good things together. Lots of small people with lots of profiles all doing the same sorts of things. I think that's effective. So it takes a while and it takes some, I guess, some bravery from the management to say, okay, we're really going to buy this. We need someone to show us top to bottom how this thing works, and then we can go forward. But the ones that do that seem to be the ones who succeed most on LinkedIn.
So we have talk about a lot of things, some past, some present, some future ones, let's see. So we are looking forward to hearing much more about your next book, John. So maybe I'll ask a second show to present, to introduce to our listeners your new creator. And for whom who haven't yet followed John, please follow him. He also has a personal brand hashtag, let's say. Maybe you have more than one. Maybe
I've got more than one, but the main one, if you're interested in LinkedIn stuff, is hashtag LinkedIn Learner Lounge.
LinkedIn Learner Lounge, yes. So follow him and follow his hashtag. And buy your his course, LinkedIn Leaders course, and Content DNA. This is a very, very relentlessly helpful book, we can say.
I very much appreciate your support. Thank you so much for having me, Leo. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, John. See you. Bye-bye.